There it is, one, three books that's on Mary. Now those books you can look at. If you want to order one, then you can find where you can order it. And look at those, rather they weren't really moved. Now, I have three gospel tracts. The Death Penalty, Lost Even When Good, that's his account of my conversion. Running With My Eyes Shut, those are all three gospel tracts. This tracks primarily on Peter's restoration, he killed the fire. You're welcome to take one or more of those if you want to. Here's a little pamphlet, My Heart, Christ Whole, Divine Healing. Now, any of those you can take, and some of my radio logs, and some of my tracks. I will be going home tomorrow afternoon in order to take a funeral of a brother that passed away suddenly. Larry has very graciously agreed to let me speak again tonight in order to kind of fill in with the session that I planned for here. So, Lord willing, tonight we want to show this film The Incredible Worth of a Woman. This is worth seeing, and Lord willing, this is what we'll be showing tonight. I think it lasts almost an hour. So you can bear that in mind. Then I'll be speaking again in the morning, and then I have my schedule changed to go back tomorrow. I feel very strongly that I need to be back for this funeral, not only a brother in the Lord, but a family that's been very close to me over the years, and quite a few have gotten saved under my ministry. Larry will have, as far as I know, all day Thursday, and I don't know about Friday, but that will fill you in. Now, I got two brethren that's going to hand out a tract. You can do that now, you two brethren. It's called Keeping Love Alive. And then it has an insert. So if you two brethren want to hand those out now. Keeping Love Alive. And there's an insert in there that's quite illustrative, I think. Now, I will try to stay around a little while after the service this morning. If you have some questions or comments, and so on and so forth, to be available. In Genesis, we read that, of course, God made Adam from the dust of the ground, and then took a rib of Adam and made a woman. It says that he made them male and female. Male and female. Now, there's a lot of difference between the woman and the man besides the physical. A lot of people don't hardly realize this. But it's not just a physical difference. There's a difference in emotions. There's a difference in the way a woman looks at things and the man looks at things. If a problem comes up, a man tends to figure it out. Maybe gets out his computer or something. But the woman, she comes up with the answer and she don't know how she got it. But quite often, she's right. I remember one time we had company. And my daughter was just being, I thought, kind of naughty. In fact, she was. And I expect I was about ready to give her a pattern. But my wife, she went and took her temperature. She thought maybe she wasn't feeling good. And sure enough, she had a fever. She put her to bed. And we need to realize that there's a difference in the man and the woman in many ways. Some things that brings happiness and joy to man and so on does it to a woman and so on. So we want to bear that in mind. Now, what do I think is the most common cause of divorce? I personally think it's lack of communication. And one spouse expecting more from the other than they are willing to give. And
And often we are expecting too much from our spouse. Now, you will notice in that cartoon, notice that in your track, that insert, you notice that cartoon? Let's see here. It says Francine wasn't just sure which way her marriage was going to go, so she decided to bunt. Wham! And out goes inside the house. You catch that? That's what happens often when a divorce takes place. The family's broken up. And often the children suffer very much. I'd like to remind you of this piece in the paper, special report, Building Marriages is an Everyday Affair. Now, this is a secular paper, the Denver Post. Recently, I read in a paper the big argument over the toilet stool lid being up. The toilet stool lid up. How would that make an argument? I said to a little girl one night at Bible club, I said, where's your friend? Oh, she said, we had a big argument. I said, how can two little girls like you, so small as you are, have a big argument? But sometimes we get all hung up on such little things, or is it little? I knew one couple who never had any problem with the toilet stool being up at all. The man just sat down on it. And it's very sanitary. But we get hung up on some very little things sometimes. Now, here's the tally. 78 index cards were turned in. And out of 78 index cards turned in, few've been added. 27 have to do with money. Have to do with finances. That really surprised me, because that was not on the top list by any means the last time I did this. That was down the ways. Quite a little waste. Money. Now, before I go on that, I want to talk a little bit about money and finances and so on. You know, most money is tainted. It taints yours and taints mine. Why would we buy it anyway? Anyway, my wife, Mildred, and I were married in 1937, the Dust Bowl days. I was in some of those storms when a cloud of dust, you could see rolling it in. It wasn't a cloud in the air, it was a cloud of dust rolling in. If you're going to see, you had to light the lamp or lantern. We didn't have electricity. As I mentioned yesterday, while my wife and I did not have very much of a house when we got married, we did have a home. Three rooms, one bedroom didn't have anything in it. Nearly all, in fact, all of our furniture was secondhand. We paid $35 for rings. We got our table for 3.5, but it still got it. And it increased in valuation. I suppose that we didn't have over $200 worth of furniture. But we got along. We had no plumbing problems. Never had to call a plumber for the toilet. No plumbing problems. Anything like that, you know. Now, during some of those early winters, our income consisted of eggs from the chickens and cream from a few milk cows. And we made it go. We made it reach. We went to town usually just once a week. In those days, Saturday was the go-to-town day. We would budget what little money we had. We knew how to count pennies. Primarily that was our weekly income, eggs and cream. And I did a little trapping. And once in a while I caught a skunk. And my, oh my, they would bring, even in those days, about a dollar, the hide, a dollar, dollar and a quarter, dollar and a half. Oh boy, we struck it rich when we caught a skunk. Had a skunk hide to sell. Once in a while we would get a badger. I don't know why furs was quite so high then when a lot of other things weren't. But now we budgeted. We always saved enough money back to have gas enough to go to church or to the assembly meeting. We had 17 miles over country roads each way, and we usually made 3 meetings a week. How did we have gas enough to go? That's the way we budgeted. Early on, after we were married, a preacher, some will know him, David Horn, David would know David Horn, I'm quite sure, David Rogers, he visited our home. And he read to us a scripture that's found in 2 Samuel. They that honor me, I will honor. Then he pointed out, now the Lord can cause you to have extra expense. He can cause you to have less expense. They that honor me, I will honor. We took that to heart. And I believe that I could honestly say that Mildred and I tried to do that in our life. They that honor me, I will honor. And I like to say that to you today. They that honor me, I will honor. And the Lord, that's a promise. We did not have very much. Like I say, we had more than a house. We had a home. And even though during those trying times, we were happy. I'm thankful for those early years in my life. I look back to them with happy memories, and we got a lot of good training through that, and we learned the value of a dollar. Getting back, I want to read the tally on the first 4. Some said money, some said finances, and so on, but it's all primarily the same thing. The number one thing is finances. 37 out of, I guess it's 38 index cards. Evidently, this is a big problem. And I have heard this phrase so much the last 2 years that it almost rings in my ears. Well, we need the money. We need the money. I talked to a woman, middle-aged woman, who is working on Sunday, missing meetings. But she says, I need the money. I need the money. Second is infidelity. And that's about let's see here, that's about 19 or 20 infidelity, not being faithful to the partner, etc. And then number three is sorry, give me a hand on this, Bob.
Yeah. It's my writing, right? You could help it in my eye. Number three is selfishness or immaturity. And 12 out of 12. When you first tell it, there was 4. We got more later on.
Not 38.
And then read number 4. It'd be 14 out of 38. And the fourth one was lack of communication. And there were 9 out of 38.
Okay. So you can kind of see what this is revealing. Now to me, it shows up that finances and money is a real problem. Now, I want to address some of these problems as we go along. The home should be a sacred place. A sacred place. It should be a haven of rest. A place where you trust each other. A place where you care for each other. There should be harmony. There should be security. And so on. For a home to be like this, you must be willing to forget the past. Don't carry that phrase, well, I forgive you, but I don't forget. God has cast our sins behind his back. I will remember no more. You must give and forgive and not bring things up again when they're once settled. I remember my first breakfast with my wife. I remember her first pancakes. The first meal she served me was pancakes. And don't misunderstand me, my wife turned out to be a great cook, and I still miss her food. Lots of ladies ask her for a recipe. But those pancakes weren't all that good. And I used to tease her about it occasionally. You know, one day, I realized when I teased her about it, it was hurting her. I realized I'm overdoing this. It's hurting her. And so I quit. And who do you think raised to dry up the pancakes next? It was my wife. Down the right way, his wife, she brought up those first pancakes. But the point I want to make is, if you feel like something's hurting your partner, lay off. See? And what may be fun the first few days, or something, or comical, it may not be later. Colossians says, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Now this is in the guidebook, the marriage guidebook. Oh, I hope you use that marriage guidebook often. You know, when something goes wrong with the car or microwave or washing machine, you often get out the instruction book. Well, what is it? When things aren't going just right, go to the Bible. Go to the guidebook. Go ahead and just forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do you. In other words, remember the two bears. Bear and forbear, you see. We got to be considered one of another. Now, in marriage there is an adjustment. And if you don't believe it, you'll find it out after you're married. But we need to face it, there is an adjustment. All at once, you've been single and making your own decisions, and then all at once, well, wait, what does wifey think about this? Or what does hubby think about this? And there is adjustment. And we need to be willing to adjust. And we also, I believe, we need to make some adjustments as time goes by in our marriages. See, usually early on in marriage we have children. And let me tell you, when babies come along, there's an adjustment and so on. But as age comes along, and children in high school, and so on and so forth, so I think this kind of adjustment goes along quite a long ways. Now, we need to be willing to accept each other as they are. Now, here's one of the myths that singles have. They think, oh, well, after we get married, I know he does this, and I don't like this thing he's doing, but after we get married, he'll quit that. Don't you believe it? If anything, it might get worse. Don't think that there's going to be a big change for the better. And then try to keep love warm. Now that's the gist of that track. Keeping love alive. A few years ago, a tragic accident in Nebraska. A young couple, four children, I think the oldest was 10 or 11. The husband driving, he hit a truck. Still like that. One child hurt some. But, that was all. I was called, sharing a funeral. And the father of the wife told me that one of the things that was hurting his daughter, Carol, she couldn't remember if she had told her husband that morning that she loved him. He said they aimed to every day tell each other they loved her. Don't be like the man who says, well, I told her I loved her once and that's enough. When I lost my wife, there were two words or two phrases that comforted me more than anything. Now, don't misunderstand me. I use a lot of the phrases in company too. Well, it's the company know that he or she's in heaven, and it's company know that she lived for the Lord and things like that. But you know, and this came from the non-Christians as well as Christians. And one of them was, I'm sorry. I remember a man said that to me in the street. He heard that my wife would die, and I don't think he knew the Lord at all, but he says, I'm sorry. And another term was, I love you. Those touch my heart more than the scripture phrases. Now, don't think that. I'm not undermining the word of God. But those two things touch my heart. We need to tell each other that we love each other. And that was really grieving her because she was afraid she hadn't told her husband that he loved her. A marriage counselor for one of the most populous counties in Colorado a few years ago had a kind of a seminar for pastors. And I went to that. And he gave the causes of divorce as he saw it in this order. And I'm going to give them to you. His first was immaturity. Immaturity. I don't think he was a Christian, but nevertheless, here was what he saw. Immaturity. And that is a cause of a lot of divorces. A lot of people are not mature enough to take on the responsibility of marriage and so on. Immaturity. So many are getting married and they're not ready for marriage and so on. They don't really pray about it and thoroughly consider it. The story is told of a man that was looking to buy a new car, and he had his wife with him, and She drug him all over to this dealership and looked at the car, and all over to this dealership and looking at the car. And finally she says, well, why does it take so much time to decide what car you want? You didn't take this much time when you decided to marry me. Well, he says, buying a new car is important. And that's about the attitude that some have with immaturity. And then, inability to communicate was number one. Number one, inability to communicate. The stories are told of a preacher that was visiting a couple, and they were passing notes. Husband passed a note, a little bit later, passed a note, and finally says, why are you passing these notes around? Well, he says, we're not talking to each other. And sometimes it is hard to talk to each other. Things aren't going right. Heard the story of a man and his wife. They were sitting before a fireplace. And the wife was crocheting and doing something along. Husband kind of had her back to her and reading the newspaper. There was a dog and a cat laying there in front of the fireplace, all curled up, just enjoying the fireplace. And finally, the wife said to the husband, say, see that dog and cat there? Why can't we get along like that? He said, well, you tie their tails together if you have to get along. And it seems like something happens sometimes after marriage, especially if we don't work at it. See? So we need to work on it. Now, talking to each other. Not a shout out. I went to visit a home one time. I knocked on the door. I heard a woman shouting at her husband, using some very bad language, telling her husband to get upstairs. I thought, wow, this is no time for a call that I used away. We have to be careful about a shout out and so on. Now, James tells us that the tongue can no man tame. It's unruly and evil, full of deadly poison and so on. We have to be very careful with our tongue. We do lots of damage with our tongues. I have the same problem sometimes. We need to use some tactics, like you use in courtship and so on. And we need to show interest in other things. Husband has an interest, well, try to go along with it, vice versa, as long as it's, legitimate and so on. Interest in each other's person. And try not to walk away from your spouse when there is problems. Now, infidelity is number three. And unfaithfulness. Now, this comes about in various ways, various causes. I mentioned yesterday, and it's in 1 Corinthians, that there it states that the wife and the husband is to recognize sexual needs of the partner, not to refuse sexual intercourse, etc., and to meet their needs. That's what the Bible says. The Bible does say, be tempered in all things, so I think we need to bear that in mind. Sometimes even in good things we're not tempered in, but sometimes friction and various things in this area causes maybe one partner to be unfaithful and so on, and that can be a real problem. And let's see, that was what, about number two here, I believe, and so on. But let's remember that sex outside of marriage is sin. And in the Old Testament, sex outside of marriage was punishable by death. So we need to remember that. Now, God has given us the instructions to make the marriage harmonious. They're there in the book. They're there in the guidebook. Thy word is the lamp unto thy feet, the light of thy pathway. And we need to try to seek instructions and guidance there. Now, you can damage your car if you don't maintain it, if you don't keep oil in it, if you don't fix things. You can damage your car, and in some cases there's a little damage, and if you neglect to let it go, it may turn into a major damage. The car needs the right lubrication and so on to make it run right. And the lubrication for the marriage is love. Okay? If you want to open your Bible now to Titus chapter 2, I want to talk a little bit about the role of the wife. The role of the wife, and Lord willing, in the morning I'll talk about the role of the husband. The role of the wife, Titus 2, verse 4 and 5. I was talking about the wife, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. By the way, again and again we read that husbands are to love their wives with a sacrificial love. But here's one place it tells the wives it'd be a pretty good thing if you love the husbands too. Here's one scripture that does tell the wife to love the husbands. But you know, some wives claim they love the children, but they're ready to move the husband out the window. But they are to do both.